You're listening to Dine to Learn More with Trevor and Laura. Dine to Learn More is where we talk about death and bereavement to deepen our understanding of this inevitable part of life.
Hi, everyone. I'm Laura, and I'm here with Trevor again from Peace Arch Hospice Society. And today we wanted to talk about grief and children. Trevor, I came across a quote by David Kessler, and it says, "Children are often the forgotten grievers." Could you speak to that a bit?
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful quote. It rings so true. Children are often forgotten about. Their grief is different than that of an adult, how they express their grief, how they perhaps experience their grief. And so adults don't always recognize that a child is grieving because they will be grieving differently. So in that sense, it's very true that they are forgotten about and maybe even neglected during their grief.
Right. So isn't grief grief? Like, what makes grief in children different than in adults?
Well, children grieve differently than adults, that's for sure. That's why adults struggle to relate to or even notice that children are affected by loss. They express it in what I would say is an embodied way through their physical selves. In a sense, it's kind of more natural, or what we could say is a pure way of experiencing and expressing grief.
Okay.
Because children are closer to nature, and I see them as being much closer to nature than we are, in the sense that when they're born from nature, and then we start to grow away from nature. So because they're closer to nature and they've been exposed to less conditioning like adults have, learning we call it, they are therefore better in a way at adjusting to death, because death is, let's face it, it's part of nature. I think that children intuitively know how to respond to loss better than adults, who just end up complicating it all with all these complicated concepts and intellectual ideas. Basically, when we're looking at this, children can really teach adults a lot about loss.
That's interesting. One thing I've witnessed myself and heard from others who have children grieving around them, that it often feels hurtful to them because they don't actually seem sad about the loss. And again, I found another quote again by David Kessler, and I feel like maybe this explains it. You can go further into it, but children handle grief like puddle jumpers.
Yeah, I think that's a great quote too, because children will be seen playing and laughing one moment, and then the next moment they might be crying or very quiet and
right.
Isolating themselves. Children have a way of intuitively knowing what their expression of grief should be at any given moment. They're very intuitively responsive to their own internal experience. So they sense death as being part of life without really intellectually understanding the reality of it. Therefore, I see that children can play it out, or they can paint it out, or they can dance it out, while adults kind of get bogged down in trying to understand it and intellectualize it. So children are more active in their right brains, while adults tend to be more focused on their left brain, knowing that's the intuitive versus the rational. So yeah, children will jump into that puddle of emotions and expressions, and then they'll jump out. Whereas adults might get stuck in that, kind of like it's a bit of a muddier puddle for them.
Right. A bit quicksand, I'm sure, for some.
Right.
And also, I guess, if you saw a child playing or painting or dancing, it doesn't mean in that moment they're not actually playing out something that happened to do with someone dying. You know, like they often say, if you see them playing and listen to them, they're playing out scenarios that they've been in, and they're trying to make sense of what that is. Let's say doll playing, for example.
That's a good analogy, because we say that play is a child's work. That's how children do their work.
Okay.
Right? That's how they make sense of the world. That's how they learn who they are and what their place is in the world. So when a crisis like grief happens in their life, their play could take very important forms of meaning for them.
Yeah, that's very true. Same with drawing or painting. Even my own children sometimes, things they bring home, I think, oh, that's telling me something. So what are some ways that one could better support a child in grief?
I think firstly, a child in grief is going to be experiencing the loss of an important person in their life. Depending on the relationship they had with that person will affect what that grief means to them. So firstly, it's really important to express to that child that they are safe, that they are cared for, that they are loved. And you could say it with words, but the best way to do it is with physical contact.
Okay.
Spend time with the child, doing a lot of hugging, a lot of physical play, being available with that child in doing fun things, but also giving that child lots of opportunity to talk about whatever they might want to talk about if they do feel that they have words or if they have questions that they have to ask.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you said talk about them. Now, I know from experience there's a lot of people who don't think children can handle these topics.
Oh, yes, right.
Or like that children don't have, there's no space for them at a funeral. That's not, that's too much for a child.
Yes.
And they shouldn't be allowed to go. And so what do you want to say about that? When you're talking about death with a child, how do you talk about it?
I want to say a lot about that because, again, children are the forgotten grievers. There's a lot of assumptions, as you say, that are made about what is appropriate for
right.
children. And when it comes to attending funerals or when it comes to sharing information about the person who has died, how they died perhaps, I think what happens is adults are trying to be protective. But I think sometimes underneath that expression to be protective, they're actually kind of protecting themselves.
Yeah.
Right? Because they might be feeling uncomfortable talking about the person who died or how they died. They might be comfortable with the idea of taking a child to a funeral service. What happens if a child is left out of these very important rituals, let's face it, that's why they're there in human society. They serve a very important purpose. If a child is left out of that, they might misunderstand the reason for that. They might start learning that it's not okay to talk about death or to even think about it, which is not something that we want any child to learn. So what happens is that children are sometimes marginalized when it comes to the experience of grief and loss, which doesn't help them at all. They might feel like they're not worthy, perhaps even, of participating in the rituals that are available for expressing grief and sharing grief. So what we recommend is that people let children make the choice for themselves. With, as
right.
you know, once they're given the information, explain to them what the funeral is, what the purpose of it is, and what happens basically that they can expect to have happen there, and then let them decide how they want to participate. And I've heard some amazing stories and seen how children have requested to be actively involved in the funeral in some way or another. Sometimes it's singing a song, sometimes
right.
it might be writing something, a poem for the loved one,
right.
and sometimes they've even spoken at funerals,
oh.
which could be very powerful.
Yeah, I mean, when my grandfather died years ago, my oldest daughter at the time was maybe 3 or 4 years old, so quite young, and I got a lot of comments because I brought her to the funeral,
right.
and I spoke to her every step of the way, and that's the coffin. There's a body. It is him, but it's not going to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to come see it, but do you want to?
Right.
And if you don't hear, you can sit with your aunt. It was never something I find that it was very important to me to teach her about
mm-hmm.
death. And because it wasn't that she had a super close relationship with him because we didn't live in the same province. So for her little short life, she had very small interactions. But it was a good introduction of seeing and watching it, and this is death. But it's true how children internalize what they're conditioned or taught, and if they're not explained.
Yeah.
So another story that I have personally is, for my whole childhood life, whenever I heard the Stevie Wonder song, I Just Called to Say I Love You, I would feel sad. And when I was older, I thought, I don't understand why I feel so sad, because it's not really a sad song. But I had this very heavy feeling every time. And I looked it up and put it together, and it was when my grandfather died. And I was only 3 years old, and I wasn't brought to a funeral, and I wasn't really spoken to. Of course, I was three. I'm not, my memories are going to be.
That happens.
But my older sister said, no, she remembers we weren't allowed, and she was actually sad, like upset that she couldn't go. And it's interesting that that song, because it was playing on the radio all the time, because it was a number one hit, just come out. And my memory is everyone being sad, and that carried overall. So just the tiniest
experience.
And these are the things that, if we're not using these words, it can be very confusing. Another story I knew about was from a professor telling us in class about a client she had, and that the daughter, parents brought their daughter because she had seemed to develop a fear of going outside without her parents. And eventually, it all came out to be that she was scared to go outside for fear of being lost. And she explained that she knew she was supposed to have a little brother, but one day her parents went out, and it was a very blustery day, I guess. And when they came home, they told her they had lost the baby. And so now she associated this weather and being out to being lost, and she was scared.
She's
going to be lost.
Well, what else is she expected to take away from that? That's how children learn. That's how they create associations. And that's why it's so important that we use concrete language when we're talking to children about death. And even to the point of avoiding those words like passing away, gone to sleep, even, you know, gone somewhere else, you know, we need to say very concrete language such as dead, died, the dreaded D word, as we call it. Right, that adults are so concerned about using with children, but that's what we find is very helpful for children. They want to have the concrete language. They don't want to have any possibility of misunderstanding for them. We don't want them to feel that something is, it doesn't make any sense, or that they have to fill in the blanks, because they might fill in the blanks with information that isn't correct and is perhaps even worse than what the reality is. So we can avoid that by using very concrete language with them. And I've never known or seen a child harmed by using the words dead or dying.
Right. So education about this is huge. Is this why you created the Cycle of Life workshops through Peace Arch Hospice Society?
Yeah, the Cycle of Workshops are developed to teach children about grief and loss and even about death. They're in-class workshops that we provide to the schools, and we've done many, many dozens of them over the years. Sometimes we've been invited into classrooms when perhaps a teacher has died, or perhaps one of the family members of a student has died, and very tragically, there has been times when a child, one of the classmates, has died, and we've been able to go into those classrooms at those critical times to provide this educational workshop, where we start off talking about nature, just reflecting on what we see happening in nature, and we ask the children to to notice how there seems to be a cycle of life that's in nature, and that death is part of that cycle. Children respond really well to that, that whole concept. As I said earlier, they're closer to nature.
Right.
So they connect with that concept very quickly, very readily, and in a way that is not burdened and encumbered by all of the intellectualizing and learning that we adults bring into it. So in a much more pure way, do they talk about these concepts? We ask them to share their perspectives. Of course, children will share stories about a pet that has died. Some of them have lost family members. Maybe the older family members have died. But it gives them an opportunity to talk very openly and honestly about what it means for them. And they learn, in a sense, what grief is and
right.
how they can help themselves when they're grieving. And a big part of it is just communicating, being open about it.
Yeah.
It normalizes the experience of death and really kind of bases it all in nature.
And uses the words.
Yes, that's
and
so important.
And uses the words.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of hospices do not offer any grief support for children. And I know for you personally, you are a very big advocate for that this is a very important thing that needs to be available.
Oh, most definitely.
What grief support does, can you talk about the grief support we offer here at Peace Arch Hospice Society?
Yeah, I it is my belief that children should be prioritized when it comes to grief and loss support. I believe that, you know, they're pioneers. They're experiencing something like this for the first time.
Right.
And they don't have life experience to draw upon. They don't have those references to the supports that they might have. They don't have a philosophy that they've developed. They don't have a lot of things. And so when they experience grief, they're going into it pretty much, you know, open, right? Open and vulnerable in many ways. So I think it's really important that they get the opportunity to be able to express their grief in a way that works for them. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. And what we do is we like to work with children to follow their lead in that,
okay.
to let them be directive in that, and open up opportunities for them to express themselves through art, through play, through dance, song, whatever it might be. But yes, I do believe that children should be prioritized when it comes to grief support and given that opportunity. And let's face it, I mean, a lot of parents feel like they're in over their head when it comes to what do I say? How do I talk to my child about grief? I don't understand what the right approach should be. And that's where hospice societies come in to provide that support. So we work with families, we work with parents, and we work with children. We do one-to-one individual support for children, plus we also have our Friends Helping Friends camp for grieving children, which we should probably talk in another podcast.
Yeah, well, I would think too that often if a child is grieving, someone in their immediate family is also grieving, and it's hard and painful if you're struggling to then provide the support also for your child, or be able to say those words. It's a very hard word to say, this person died. That's a very hard statement to say sometimes.
Oh, of course. And that's why we find that the support for families is so helpful. We'll support families together as a family unit, plus we'll support them individually, and that could happen at the same time.
Right. That's wonderful. Did you want to talk about the Friends Supporting Friends Grief Camp a bit? Just to give people a little idea of what that exactly looks like?
Yeah. We use the term Friends Helping Friends because the really helpful component of this camp for children is that it's a peer support environment that we create for them. We create the space for these children to come and talk about their grief, to express it in whatever way they feel is going to be helpful for them. And we provide lots of activities to provide structure for that. We have an amazing team of volunteers that support us here that have training in working with children. And we have our counselors that provide that direct professional support so that children have a safe environment that they can express their experience in and share those stories in a room with other children that are also grieving. Because I think sometimes in the classroom they might feel that they're, and they might be the only one in the class, and they might be the only one in their whole grade that that has experienced the loss of someone important in their life. So when they come here, they're supported by other children that are struggling through something very similar.
Right, it's creating a connection that they're not alone.
Right.
Right.
So valuable.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time, Trevor.
Oh, it was wonderful talking about these very important topics today.
Yes, and I'm sure we will circle back to talk further about some of these things on another session.
We definitely will. So I hope whoever's listening to this will tune in and hear our other podcasts as well.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being open to learning more about death and grief. Stay tuned for more episodes by following us on Instagram or Facebook.